Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 618, I think it is. It's a weekend podcast. Joining me on the left there is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello.
And on the right there is Steve. You're all right, Steve.
Hello.
Now, I've had people, a couple of people tweeting saying, where's the weekend podcast?
So
they cannot start their weekend. The weekend starts here, everyone.
Wow. They need to get a life.
Yeah. No, hey, Peter.
Oh, sorry.
Those are only three listeners. Come on.
Yeah, it's your mum.
I can't believe you're actually slagging off our only three listeners.
No, yeah, thank you, listeners.
I've got to say, joking aside, the weekend podcast is quite popular, guys. So I think it's people are tuning in for Steve's tips on trading.
The dirty,
little trader. I saw another big trade go through this week. You come to mind. It was like someone bought 130 quid of YOLO, something like that, or Audioboom, I think it was. And I thought, Steve's getting in there. Look, he's up in his holding there. Yeah. By the way, do you guys hold Boom or YOLO? What do you hold?
YOLO.
I hung YOLO as well, yeah.
You hung YOLO?
Yep.
I hung YOLO.
Like a YOLO.
I'm hung like a YOLO. Okay, so listen, we've had some bad news this week. I mean, when Steve started trading or investing, I did talk to him about new oil and gas, and he said, okay, he didn't say anything, but unbeknownst to us, he chucked a large chunk of his PF in there.
A large.
Yeah, and you had no concept of risk whatsoever, Steve, did you?
No.
And now, it looks like ninth... Steve, I got to say, Peter, you're very insensitive to Steve on this.
Oh.
I mean, I take the mic now and again, right?
What?
But I feel like I'm on the line. You were way over the line. Way over the line, fella.
When? How?
Well, let's ask Steve. What do you feel, Steve? Do you think he's very insensitive as to your plight?
It was a little bit insensitive. I think it wasn't actually funny this week.
What did I say that was particularly insensitive?
You kept taking the mic about saying, don't forget, so a big shareholder. I don't know. What was it on? Was it on our WhatsApp group?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go through them now. And I kept saying, and you didn't know, you know, you couldn't, oh, yeah. Let's have a look. First of all, you kept taking the mic out of Steve's texting ability.
Thanks for that.
No problem. Anytime.
Okay, I set to like odd a lot of money there. And a sad face from Steve. Translate yourself, Steve. But the thing is, what is an investor actually investing in? A couple of old ONG assets and a bag of potatoes. Steve, are you drunk? And I said, that's quite sensitive. Steve, and then lose. And then Pete just kept laughing, putting laughing face out. And he said, I'm a shareholder too. Seriously though, what does the company have? You know, well, the money. He's feeling bad enough as it is. Like, you're rubbing it in.
No, hold on.
He understands he's in a bad situation here.
He swore at me for correcting his spelling, and I laughed. That's all that was. And I'm a shareholder too, so I'm being serious about that. I wasn't saying anything insensitive because I said.
Go on.
Sorry, I don't have quite as much in New World Oil and Gas as Steve has, but still, it's concerning because it's, you know, what is going to happen. And my question is, what do they have now that the reverse takeover thing's fallen through? You know, it's a serious question.
Well, I said they've got cash, they've got a listing. Well, I don't know about the cash now anymore because they're the RNS out saying there's some irregularities going on. But a listing, the board, plus actually an active shareholder base. Hopefully, I say it will be okay. But yes, but Steve has most of his money in there. Yep, and the farm you come back with.
And I thought, and the farm. Yeah. Well, yes. Okay.
And I said, you have a go at me for being insensitive. He said, I'm not laughing in his face. Exclamation mark.
Yeah, I'm not laughing in his face. Previously on, what was the other one? EVRH or whatever, or something where he sold out too soon. Or you literally sat here laughing on the podcast in his face.
Yeah, but he made money on it.
Yeah,
you see the difference? Now he's got half his retirement fund up the Swanee. And you were just laughing at the fact that he's, you know, living.
I was not laughing at Steve. Well, if I was, apologies, Steve. It wasn't meant.
Okay. You laugh at the fact that he's going to spend the last few days of his life skint, thinking about that bad investment, and you were just laughing at him. So you'll be there eating cup of soups with no heating on in December. There's a little blanket, a holy blanket over his legs in his wheelchair.
Even be going for cup of soups. That'll be Aldi's own. You know, yeah. Can't afford the branded ones.
Yeah. But we'll both be living in your shed by then, Justin, because we've both lost all our money.
And you're like a teenager throwing bangers through his letterbox. An old man on his own. That's what you were doing. You're old man. You're on your own. You're scared. You got no money. That's what basically you're doing there.
Let's move on from this now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
but essentially, I don't know what's happening in New World. I mean, listen, the good thing they've got going for it is they've got an active shareholder base, big sofa company, you know. Apparently, they may find their way to the stock market anyway, because they're obviously looking for a listing, and someone said their placing was oversubscribed there. So listen, they have a loan from New World Oil and Gas for £600,000. So I don't know where that'll go. Maybe going to shares if they get listed. And there's also, like I said, there's active sort of. And I've got to say, Ben from the investor group there said, by the way, you know, tell him to email this. What is it? Inquiries. Let me find it. Let me see it. inquire@nwogaction.co.uk. That way you can keep up to date. Steve, have you done that?
Yes, and he said it's closed.
Did he?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He said it's oversubscribed, so he's closed it.
Who got back to you?
Ben.
Did you tell him that you said, hang on, Ben, you told me to email you. Did you tell him you were on the weekend podcast with me?
He told you to tell me to be. No, I don't. He just came back and said that, so I said,
well,
Ben.
Tell him, say, okay. So a couple of days ago, you told me to get involved via Justin on Skype.
Yeah. And also point out that you own half the company.
There's another one. See, he said that. Say, tell him you're a big shareholder, Steve. You're big. I'm like, you know, I'm not messing around, but I'm a big deal here.
Yeah, I'm so kind of a big. He basically said he suspended new members from joining the group until the 9th of November.
Well, that's when they delist.
Yes, potentially.
Okay. All right. So I don't know. Listen.
But the big thing with that, I would have said, is that there's some very big reputations on the line. So surely there's going to be some people working
Steve.
Pretty hard. Steve and his investor, his reputation. No, there's going to be some people, some fairly big people involved in New World Oil and Gas that need to sort of get this mess sorted out, don't you think?
Yeah. Listen, and do you know what comes back to me, Pete, is if anything useful comes out of this, you mentioned a couple of weeks back about this guy who's a bookie who lost $1 million on a day in his little business. And now he's back and beyond where he was back then. So, but what I'm saying is, Steve, this is where it's true. You know, you've got to learn from this. If you've got money still there, you've got to learn from it. And this is an excellent lesson in, you know, risk and reward, and diversifying a little bit. Never put too much of your stock in. I don't need to want to hear this now because it's probably sensitive. But listen, I think stocks and shares are amazing because essentially it hits you where it hurts. You go there to try and earn money, and if you get it wrong, it takes money away from you, you know? And so that's a really, you know, poignant, strong lesson, I think. And so you either adjust the way you're doing it, because you're doing it a little bit wrong, or you lose a lot, you know? And so going forward, you realise now, when I, you know, kept saying, try not to put 10% or more, you know, into one stock.
I know. Do you know what? That was pretty much, I think it might have even been one of my first investments. And I just kind of I didn't really know what I was doing. And of course, I'd never do that again. And even months after doing it, I kind of regretted doing that. But by that point, I was down. So I was like, well, I might as well just hold in and for a little bit longer. But so I won't be doing that again.
I blame myself.
I can't do it again. I don't have the money.
No, I blame myself to a certain extent. I should have said to you how much you're putting in. And I should have from the start. We should always give you a trial run on a paper sort of investing rather than before you got in big time. And, you know, a couple of things you have to... I don't do it now, but I should do. You know, I try to do it now. But, I mean, you should always, you know, realise how much you're going to expose yourself in its entirety before you even start investing, how much you're looking to gain from the stock, you know, and knowing where it goes wrong. If it's something that goes wrong, it not necessarily the price dropping, but if something fundamentally changed in the company, you know, when to get out. Unfortunately, with New Oil and Gas, it's suspended. You couldn't. So that even more, you know, realise you should have, you know, applied the risk-reward thing and you know, overexposure and all that stuff. Because it's really important, especially on AIM stocks. You see, you know, they are, like I said, there are a couple of, you know, dodgy directors away from going through, you know? And there was dodgy directors, wasn't there? And that's why I said last week, I've had it with cash shells, essentially. I know people trade them all the time and can do quite well at them. But it's literally, you know, big risk, big reward. And like I said, you know, it can be big upside or collapse, essentially. And I don't like that kind of strategy, really. I like to invest in companies that I know have a management that are going somewhere, they have a plan. I don't like to invest in a cash shell where, you know, there's no plan. You're just hoping that they're linked to a person who's done it before, maybe. And that it's almost pushed to the edge of the precipice before it collapses. And then all of a sudden it gets, rescued. That there sends a share price through the ceiling, can do. But, you know, it could fall over the precipice. And I just think that's a very risky strategy, and you know? It's not one I mean, you know, if you're going to do it now and again and you see the management come in quite good, I'll have a little punt on it, but and that's what it is, it's a punt. You know, it's a 50-50 chance, and I don't like those kind of odds, really.
But I think the biggest thing I've probably learned in the last, say, year of dabbling with the little stocks is that if there is some potential in it and you see a rise, get a stop loss in, so that you're never going to lose money. So if let's say it goes up 50%, well, let's get a stop loss on it or in a, like 20% up, and then you know you at worst case scenario you're making 20% there, and you protect yourself, because not rubbing it in, but New Oil and Gas. I remember when Adam Reynolds came on board about this time last year, it did have a nice spike, and I think we sold some, or I can't remember, but and Steve, you must have been up then, and obviously. Hindsight is a lovely thing, but that's the thing I've learned is that in that scenario now, I would definitely put a stop loss in, you know, not get carried away that it's going to rise, and put a stop loss in, and then you know for sure that you're going to take some money. Then obviously, no one ever sort of envisages that it would be suspended and all the rest of it. So you can't guard against that, but you can certainly guard against losing money.
I think Justin summed up there is, like you said, it's a punt. It's kind of a little bit like gambling, isn't it? So you don't put everything into it. So
that's another
bit
thing.
Stupid, really. But you know,
you are right there. If you are 50% up on something, there's no way you should lose money on that trade. You know, and if you do, you know, it's insane. You should even if you think you may have a dip and you want to hold for the long term. There's no harm in just locking a 10% profit, just cover admin and all that stuff to make sure. Because then you can always buy it back later at a lower level if you still think the story's intact, you know. So
because you're always banging on about having a strategy, and you're absolutely right. And I was thinking this week probably that thing, putting a stop loss in like that is now becoming part of my strategy. So that's definitely a thing that I do now, and not get carried away that it's just going to carry on rising. Always get a stop loss in, and if it dips down and you sell and then it goes straight back up, then just go better than losing money. And I haven't, you just take the rough with the smooth, but you don't lose the money ultimately.
But isn't it amazing how long it takes, though? It's like, do you know what? It's a formulate a strategy. Like, even now, I mean, how long have you been doing it, Pete? I mean, recently, you're starting to say, I've started. And do you know what? Different strategies for every person. Like, I mean, I now try and look at a stock and think, can it double here? Can it do more than double on penny stocks? And then I go for that double, and I've done it quite a few times over the last year. And even if it doesn't, normally it will rise. You know, if you've valued it properly and done the little search, you can get 50% out. And so you never, or close to that, or 30-40%. And so you can always put a stop loss in and never lose, So, and like I said, on small caps, the maximum downside is 100%, maximum upside is several times that. So the risk reward is on your side. But you don't want to get losing consistently, that amount, because you can't guarantee multiples of the original. But it's just, do you know what? Get a strategy. That's all it is, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I agree.
Talking about that, have you sold your Keffi, I hear?
Well, that's an example of that. Actually, I had a stop loss in because it went up and I was up about 40-50%, and I had put a stop loss in at 25% or something up, and not this week. The other week, where it sort of dropped back down a bit, and it sold, and I was like, haven't made as much as I was up, but at least I'm out of it, and I've made some money. And then it went back up, and then of course they had that sort of bit of a disastrous RNS this week, and they shot right back down. So,
I just think he did a sort of a webcast, Harry there from Keffi. And he seems still confident on the funding, but it's dragging on, and there's been problems in Ethiopia. And the more it drags on, of course, the more doubt there is about the stock. Luckily, I bought this stock, at 0.33, I think, so still up a little bit above where I bought it at. But I was like, it's 80%. I'm looking for 100%, and I'm out of it. But, I mean, I was up like 80%, and now I'm up, what, I don't know, 10% probably, if that. And it's annoying, and that's dragging on. I'm starting to lose a bit of faith here, thinking, what's going on with this funding? It's been going on forever now, it seems.
Yeah.
They pushed out the data production to 2018, which it was, I'm sure it was 2017 originally. So
yeah.
I think everything's getting delayed. And I think, what's going on? But he did seem to think on that webcast, I looked at, he was quite confident it would be sorted out before the end of the year, the funding. So if it does, it'll re-rate, you know. But
The number of companies that are genuinely worth investing in on AIM is relatively small, isn't it? A relatively small percentage of the overall AIM market, don't you
again,
think?
Again, it depends on the strategy. I know people like, you know, Moz, we talked about last week, for example.
Yes.
He's a cracking trader, you know. He really knows how to look at the level two, looks at the buyers going in, looks at what stock's available, you know, and goes on, you know, sort of, for example, you know, stockbrokers will put a fake buy in or fake sell in, see how many stock is available, and he realizes how much is in float, and he understands if it's going to rise on a decent buy, you know. And so he really knows how to trade. And he will just trade, you know, like that. And he knows his stuff. So last week, messing around, you know, saying he ramped stuff. But he does know the game. He knows how it works.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's particularly into long-term investing, you know, at all. So, no. But I mean, my strategy is not that, because I can't do that. I'm not trained in that way. He is. He's been doing it for ages. So, you know, he just looks completely at the technical side of it. And I mean, charts, but the, you know, the stock
charts. Yeah, what I was saying there was based on what I'm looking at, which is always sort of medium to longer term sort of investments rather than the trading thing. But AIM is not really the best place for that, really, is it? Well, potentially can be.
No, but it is the best place for that, yeah. I mean, if you want a steady investment, fair enough, you go for a bigger stock. But even that, we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, big companies like the blue chips, like, you know, Tesco, you know, the banks, for example, you know, they've all had a big, massive slump. And, you know, Royal Dutch Shell, all these massive companies have had a slump. Like I said, at the moment, Sky, you know, our second trade, what's happening there?
Yeah,
it's like down to, so you can say there's no, you know, there's risk everywhere. But if you want to achieve multiples, you play in the penny stock market. And as long as you know what's going on there, and, you know, the news flow, and I just genuinely think, you know, looking at management is worth doing. And like this week, I had, you know, Tullow Energy on, Tony Gilby there. And, you know, what he's doing in Botswana, he's done twice before with huge success. You know, like, you know, Arrow Energy and Sunshine Gas, he's taken from sub 20 million market caps to selling them, you know, billions, multiples of billions for Arrow Energy. And he's doing the same in Botswana. And
The two Tonys, isn't it? It's Asian Met and Tullow are the two companies that I keep looking at and thinking happy to be invested in them. And, you know, the next couple of years should be really interesting for both those companies.
Well, I think, do you know what? I genuinely think, I mean, YOLO has a stake, obviously, in Audio Boom. But I think Audio Boom now, like I said, last year they missed their revenue expectations by a massive amount. There was technical problems with this ad service and stuff like that. And some kind of booking revenue problem that Rob so alluded to. But looking at that, I mean, if you look, they expected to do 500% increase on revenue last year. And they're written next year. I saw Rob's video on, Vox Momentous Events video. And he said they have a figure out there of 5.4 million for 2017. So that'll be another almost, you know, 450% increase on this year. They achieve a million. So that, you think, that has got to re-rate the company. At the moment, on Friday, like, it went up. And there's a lot of sellers there because obviously it's one of the lowest prices it's been. So you've got people in there from the placing at 12 pence, you know, been holding on, sitting on a loss for ages, or a lot of people, you know, in higher up, they're sitting on that loss. And so any sort of, you know, liquidity, any rise in the stock, they'll try and get out. And so you've got that pressure. But obviously there's only a certain amount of, and I think what they need is when they come up with these figures, which is not till December or some other material bit of news, you know, even the long-term holders maybe who are sitting on a massive loss or underwater quite a bit will think, oh, hang on, we're starting to see some movement here, some traction, some real traction in the company, and may even hold on, and maybe the selling will, you know, dry up a little bit. But you'd always get people trading a stock like that. So, but I at the moment, I'm genuinely thinking, Audio Boom, I just think, is anyone looking at that? I mean, obviously there are lots of companies out there who are going to improve this year. But if you look at the growth, not only this year, but next year as well, of their revenue, I think that's one not to miss out on. And of course, I'll have a positive effect on YOLO's share price. So it's all good, I think, in the hood.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and whatever happens with the New World Oil and Gas, you know, Steve, there's other opportunities and you'll claw back the losses. That's me being nice now, see?
It's going to be a long time before we pull back those losses.
Yeah. Right. What do you reckon about Sky? Yeah. Ironically, their biggest fall this week, like I said on the podcast with Chris Bailey, was a corporate investor day where they came out, yes, all the big guys saying, we've never been as strong as we are now. You know, our markets in Germany, Italy. Mm. And that day, they fell by 3.2%, which was big for a FTSE 100 company. And they went, guys.
Didn't they have that the other week as well, when they had a good company announcement and it dropped?
Mm.
But what is that about?
I don't know. Trade up. I don't know. I genuinely think, I mean, I think, you know, the online, in fact, you know, YOLO is invested in TV Player. So it's these kind of companies, you know, taking a bite out of their market share a little bit, isn't it? But they also, yeah, have that. They own Now TV, don't they, Sky? So they also, yes, have the online. And I'm thinking, you've seen Netflix come out with some good figures, you know, user update. I think they were expected to add 2 million new users. They added 3.2 million or something, Netflix. And so you see companies like that taking a big chunk out of Sky, you know. But like I said, they aren't. Reading the reports, there's a little bit of caution in the reports, you know, but I don't think there's anything to worry about. I mean, they're still doing very well. So I think until they get the figures out there, you know, decent figures out there. But listen.
From a technical point of view, that they might have changed this in the last few months, I don't know. But Now TV, they were only streaming their stuff in standard definition, which I think is a bit kind of backwards, because you've got Netflix even doing 4K or Ultra HD, and Amazon Prime doing the same, and they're still stuck pre-HD. They might have changed that in the last few months, I don't know, but I thought that
is that a significant part of their revenue? I don't think it is it?
Mm. I mean, but then you say, if they're trying to compete with them, you know, what? Why are they one step behind them, you know? Mm. Especially for movies.
Yeah, but wouldn't like a geek, I don't care, I'm happy with standard definition. When they give me the option to download or something, I'll do SD, just as faster standard definition. In fact, I want low definition. I don't care if it's fuzzy. You know, I think it adds to the romanticism of it all. People who like that kind of, you know, geekery, 4K, they'll have like Sky Q Box. Well, they have all the best kit. They won't rely on Now TV or Netflix, will they?
Yeah, I disagree. Like, even like my mum, who's completely non-technical, she'll like sit there and accidentally download or put the wrong non-HD channel on, and it'll annoy her. So, I think you just get used to it. You're very different, I think. You're just weird.
I'm not weird. You are a geek, Steve. You are a tech geek.
And no, I'm talking about, that's what I'm just saying, from normal people. I think they have got used to HD.
Yeah, but your mother,
I don't really like HD.
Oh, like, shut up, Pete.
No, I don't. Like, when you watch films or, like, you know, dramas or whatever, and it's shot in HD, it doesn't feel real, because it feels almost amateur. I think it's a very strange sort of...
That happens on certain... appearance. I've seen that on certain screens as well, where it just looks a bit odd. It's like it's almost like the filming of... the film,
yes,
not the actual
it
film.
It does, doesn't it? Feels like it's like you're actually in the room and it's like they're just rehearsing or something. It's very strange. Whereas I think standard definition, like you said, adds a bit of kind of...
Hang on, and it's you two, well, especially you, Justin, trying to push virtual reality. Surely that's even one step further than that.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not pushing it. I'm not pushing it, Steve. Am I? I mean, the industry is pushing it.
Well, no, but you're saying it's like a game changer, but you're then putting down HD.
Well, no, I'll take it or leave HD, essentially. I want, you know, if it's, I'm happy. If it's like a sci-fi film that would add a bit of, you know, colour to it, and I probably will. But if I'm downloading something normal, you know, like EastEnders, which I don't ever do, I don't know why I said that as an example, and then I don't want to see, I really want to see the more grime in Albert Square, really. It's not dark and grey enough and gritty enough. I want to see more grime, you know, I just think, you know what, it's like, I think it'll get to the stage where they'll realise they've gone overboard on the tech side. It's just, these companies are trying to outdo each other. And it's like the shaving, you know, shaving blades. First of all, they said, you know, most shavers had one blade. They said, right, now we've got two blades, you know, and then there's three blades, four blades, we have 7 billion blades on our razor. And you realise, hang on, you won't get a better shave with 10 blades than you will have two blades. So they go back to it. Our two blades are better than 10. That's what, you know, I think, 4K. Why do you need 4K? That's better than actual eyes can pick up, isn't it?
In China, they're starting to do 8K.
What, eyes?
Yeah. No, but listen, hang on. Isn't 4K better than the actual, you know, your actual eyesight?
No. 4K, you benefit on, like, ridiculously big screen, so 65 inch, that kind of style, then you'll start to notice like pixels on HD on a screen that size.
That's where 4K comes in.
But it's the cost of sport that really costs Sky a lot of money, isn't it? I think
yeah
And that's not going to change. But the only thing I'd say is all I want is 10%. I want to get out of it. I don't see a long-term hold of Sky. I just want to see a bit of a recovery, because it has been really oversold. If you look back to this time last year, it was trading at about 11 quid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
but that's it. I mean, you know, all this worry about Sky and people, you know, nipping at their market share is now, I believe, priced in, because that's what stock share is about, you know? It was like I said, 11.20. It was 11.20 this year, and now it's down to 8.20. So, I mean, surely that's priced in pretty much, that risk. We're getting there. What was a bit scary on the chart, though, I can point out with Nicola Duke today, if you could have put a rising channel on the lows, and it's broken down below one of those, that low channel, which was like 30, and now it's like 8.22. And you think, oh, what's going on here? But sometimes I think technical analysis, I do, though. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And there's no reason why it doesn't. And you can always find another reason. If you're a technical analyst, you can always find another reason to, you know, explain away why it didn't conform, you know? So it's not a be-all and end-all. I've seen shares being oversold beyond where they should have been and then rallied plenty of time. Yeah. And I've seen fundamental, you know, news come out and break what was an excellent technical setup and fall down below that. So it's not the be all end all. It's one of those things. It should be used in addition to other bits and pieces. And I just think the lower, sometimes part of me wants it to go down, because I think the lower it goes down, the more people see it as a bargain, the more buying you get, so the more momentum you get then from a lower base. You know, so people think, oh, Sky's cheap. Whenever someone starts saying Sky's cheap, no one likes to miss out on a bargain. You know. And so people will say, oh, they look a good company, and they start buying it. It's fine. I mean, if it's in the middle of a trading range, they're not quite sure that it could go up, could go down. But it's at the lower end of a trading range, where they think, oh, hang on, you may see a couple of buyers there. So anyway, that's what I think of that rubbish. Steve, you were filming all day. We record this on a Friday evening or Friday afternoon, but we're recording on a Saturday. Steve's been out filming all day. Any good, Steve?
Yeah, I was filming Thursday night. I did an overnighter on Thursday and all day Friday. My back is in pieces from doing camera work, so yeah.
Overnight filming?
No, it was an overnight edit.
He was doing late night filming and his back is in pieces, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, leave it there.
What were you filming, Steve?
It was for a college down here, but they opened up a theatre with Michael Sheen, the actor. So just filmed his little appearance at the college.
Did you get up close and personal?
I was very up close and personal. I was the official videographer.
Did you speak to him?
Not really, no, because I was filming him.
Oh, okay. Did he know you? Did he mind being filmed?
Well, I'd hope so. Yeah, no, he did. It's fine.
Did he come across as a nice person, Steve?
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, a lovely guy.
That's right.
Did you get him confused with Charlie Sheen?
Do you know what I kept saying to people? Oh, yes, Charlie. No, Michael Sheen, yeah, kept saying, but no. Yeah,
Charlie, can you just do a piece of the camera, please, Charlie?
that's why he didn't speak to you.
Yeah, and Steve wanted why he's very nice. I was speaking to him nicely, calling him Charlie and everything, and he was horrible to me. I don't know why.
Did you see the photo I put on Facebook? I got a picture, one of the other photographers took a picture of me, you filming him from the side, and I've just got this proper stalker-looking face looking at him from the side. that doesn't look good.
I've only got one friend on Facebook.
Did I not accept you though?
No, I don't know. I just unfriended everyone.
You deleted me again.
I don't see the point of it really. I'm only on there to post stuff for Vox and look at pictures my missus, you know, puts up the kids.
What? Oh.
Okay. Look at pictures of my missus, yeah.
And then you see her every day, sure.
We've had our account shut down several times, but I keep saying, get some pictures up there, love of yourself, yeah.
get out of a kidney shot up there, the boys like that.
So that's what I did for. But I unfriended you two. I unfriended all. I think it was close to 700 people or friends. They're not my friends. They're not my friends at all. I've got very few friends. And in fact, the friends I have, I've unfriended. So I just thought, what's the point of it all? Pete, you went on it for a while, were you?
I've been off it for about 5 years, but I've just last year kind of went back on because of working for a couple of companies and I have to have an account to do some stuff on there, but I don't use it. No, I just hate it. I hate all that. I hate the whole tagging thing, you know, being tagged in every post and every picture, and I know you can switch all that off, but then you end up switching everything off, and so what's the point of having accounts? That's why I decided probably 5 years ago, and
got out of it.
Tell you what, listen, I'm just thinking, sorry, going back to stocks, you know, sorry, let's take you off topic here. Stocks, right? I was thinking, you know, on Friday, Canadian Overseas Petroleum, which I hold, have doubled, they sold half, still rising, had 15.6% up on Friday, you know, it's still rocketing. And you realise, you've got to hold, you know, I think that's why some of the strategies you've got to hold, no one, when ASOS did their phenomenal rise from like 7 pence up to 40 quid or something ridiculous, you know? You know, the majority of people would have sold out way before it got anywhere near 40 quid, you know? Most people would have thought they were Warren Buffett. They've, you know, bought for 7 pence and sold for 5 quid, you know? So, and so you realise, you know, when you double your money on one stock and half, then you've got money there then to go look for other stocks. But you've still got half in that. And so all you need is one of these massive rises and it can be a game changer, you know? So that's why I kind of like that. I, you know, when I first started off, took my strategies, I did used to sell out when I made a profit. But now I don't, you know, because it's always worth just having some stock in there, isn't it? You never know. Because when you get momentum in a stock, sometimes it really overshoots where it's, what it's valued at. You know, it doesn't stop. It goes nuts. And
it's always worth de-risking and taking some profit, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've got... but the thing is, if you go for a valuation of trying to double, right?
Yeah.
You look at a stock then, say, even look at the chart. So can I get to 5 pence if it's 2.5 pence? Probably. And I see audio boom, like, easy. Easy 5 pence from 2.5 pence. Easy. In the next couple of, if it brings up figures, like I say, they sell half and move on, you know? Easy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Easy.
A bit of a strategy. Yes. Anything else? Oh, I bought some Georgian, and I did this because there's no, well, you can sort of do the figures in this. Georgian Mining Corporation, they're on the podcast, right?
Yes.
And they've been hammered down for a long time. I've had them on people, you know, talking about them within the Norcom Gold. People talking about them on Twitter saying this is cheap now. They got hammered down even further. And people said, this is super cheap now. They got hammered down even further. And literally, they consolidated their shares. And I bought some. And then they dropped a bit more. And I bought some more. And then they do have a... they're coming out with some figures around the resource soon. But luckily, they've had two good up days. And so now, I'm in profit. I had two tranches filled. The first one, obviously. And the second one, 10% dropped down, filled. And now, on 2 days... because of that, as a 25% up, which is quite nice, isn't it? So I think, you know, so that's why scaling in and, anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about anyway. What else? what else to go? Oh, yeah, Upland Resources had a big fall on Friday, didn't it?
Yes.
Almost 10% down.
Based on what?
Exactly. I mean, I was looking at, you know, mainly all sales that day. Someone bought last minute. I thought, why are people selling it? This is start of a long term story, you know. This one asset they've got, and if they up their share of it to 25% anyway, it's decent. That'll bring the cash flow in, and then they're going looking for other assets. And I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, by this time next year, there's three assets producing. And I'm thinking, isn't it odd when you see this, people just selling? And you go, why are you selling here? Because other people, and it's because other people sell. You know, it's like, oh, everyone else is doing. Someone must know something. Let's sell. Yeah. Then, no, it's just silly. It's an insane way of playing the game, I think. What was that one? Hang on, there's a price here. So someone bought 138, someone sold there. Is that a sell? Oh, yeah, 700,000 sell. Maybe. No, it's a buy, that, wasn't it? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, have we chatted about anything else? Peter, what are you up to? Anything interesting in your life?
Not a huge amount that's interesting, no. Does that help?
What have you been doing then?
Ducking and diving, bit of work. So,
you dive?
Yeah, diving work. Yeah. Okay. I've been doing a lot of diving work. Yeah, that's it. And ducks as well. Yeah.
I spent the weekend in hospital with my son.
Yes, how's he doing?
He's all right, he's fine, you know. Fair play, you know. You know when you always get in comedy clubs and they all, anyway, what do? You're a nurse and they all clap and applaud. Particularly, I was not a big fan of the NHS, and because I've experienced my mother being in there involved. But I've been there with my son the last couple of weekends, and fair play, that's a job I wouldn't like to do, you know? I know learning a trade, learning to be an investor is quite hard, but that is properly hard, you know? And you do put in the hours, you're non-stop. I've seen them all, like, and I went to sleep last night, you know, got up to the same nurse, I'm still there doing stuff, really, you know, do you want a cup of tea or coffee as well as doing another thing, medication, or and alarms going off all the time, I think. That is a stressful environment to work in, isn't it?
I don't think you can compare that to trading at all, really. No.
No, trading's harder.
Okay. Right, sorry, yes.
Right, but, you certainly lose a lot more money trading.
Yeah. That's a good point.
The closest I'll ever get to a nurse is the uniform, which I tried on last night. There was one just hanging around there. I was, you know, it's quite embarrassing when the nurse walked in. I tried to explain myself away.
And
there.
She wasn't wearing anything.
How did we get in this situation? You're naked, I'm wearing a uniform. You girls.
So I called me a doctor.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm back there tonight as well. It's even sleeping there overnight with my son is hard work. Because it's just noisy, you know, babies screaming and stuff.
Yeah, not compared to a lot of other people in that building, though. You just have to sleep there. You're fit and healthy, aren't you?
Yeah, I know.
Perspective, Justin, perspective.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's hard sleeping.
it's hard being a trader. it's hard being fit.
No, I'm not a trader. I'm saying, listen, investing is hard, right? It takes a long time to do it for a living. But that's good. It's like a trade. It is a trade. And you can't do it.
Having a terminal illness is worse.
Yeah, people believe, though, that it's easy, you know? Yeah. But that's the trouble. But the difference is, no one believes nursing is easy, you know? And it is hard. And I think, I respect that. I would never, ever, I can't think of any reason why anyone, you know, would ever go into that profession. Would you? What do you want to do? Look after sick people in a ward full of sick people and just at their beck and call 24 hours a day. Why would you ever... I'd prefer to appear in one of Steve's films.
Look at that, pal.
No openings.
Or like Charlie Sheen.
There's plenty of openings, Steve. I've seen your films. Right. Anyway, so round of applause to the nurses. Yeah, all right. I'm a nurse.
It's the whole medical profession.
I meant to say that, actually. If I'm ever in a place where someone says, what do you do, sir, for a living? You know, in front of, I'll just say I'm a nurse. Did I get a round of applause? I'm a nurse.
No, he's not. He's a trader.
No, he's a dirty trader. I'm an investor, actually. Yeah. Dirty trader. All right, anyway, that's enough. Is there anything else? What happened to the podcast? That's it. We've covered a lot of nonsense there.
Yes, we have.
So, Steve, what's your thoughts going forward now? What have you learned from this New World Oil and Gas debacle?
Well, I think we know, really, isn't it? Just don't put all your money into an AIM stock.
What percentage did you put in there?
Oh, I don't know. I can't work it out offhand.
Well, you can. It's like, was it 10%? Is it more than that?
Yeah, it's more than 10%.
Was it double that, 20%?
I'd probably say around about 40, maybe 45-ish.
Yeah. But hey, fingers crossed. Let's hope that something will come out in the wash and it'll all be okay.
Here we are. It's a cracking investment strategy. Fingers crossed. That's my investment. Write that down, Steve. Whenever you invest now, just have a piece of paper, print it up on the wall. Fingers crossed. Let's hope it all comes out in the wash.
I have faith in Adam. He's going to sort it out.
Yeah, that's Warren Buffett's investment strategy. Fingers crossed. Let's hope it all comes out in the wash.
That's what I've learned.
Just buy anything. Chuck it off your portfolio. Just cross your fingers. Yeah. Let's hope it all comes out in the wash, eh?
And maybe both hands and shut your eyes and really I hope.
Yeah. There we are. Fingers crossed. Lovely.
Right, good. Okay.
Have a nice weekend, boys.
Yeah, you too.
See you later, mate.
Bye.
See you later, mate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.